We'll do something a little different as we begin this morning. I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes, if you will, in an attitude of prayer. And guys, I want to ask you to pray a simple prayer right now. And ladies, you pray for the men who are with you or men that you know, that this will be true in their lives as well. So guys, just pray this prayer quietly in your heart after me. Lord, help me to be honest with myself. Help me to be honest with myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want us all to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's the last chapter in this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, a church that had a lot of problems, a church that struggled, facing issues that we face today. Very relevant book. And at the end, he's giving some great words of encouragement to the congregation, to the church there at Corinth. And I want to read two very short verses, but are very impactful, very powerful verses that will help us as guys who are here today. Paul writes, "Be alert," verse 13, "stand firm in the faith, be brave and strong. Your every action must be done with love." Now, in this passage of Scripture, Paul uses five imperatives, five commands, as he's encouraging this church. And I want to use those words to apply the truths that he's giving there to us as men, how to be courageous men. And the reason for that is, if you look at the middle word, it's the word brave. That's how it's translated in my translation. In the King James Version, it's translated, "quit you like men." Quit you like men. And that's a very odd phrase. It's an old English phrase. Remember, the King James Version was translated in 1611. King James was the king. That's why it's called the King James Version. And so that's the genre of literature that was used, the way in which they spoke. And that's why it's hard for many of us to understand the King James Version. But the word literally means play the man. Another translation will have it, act like a man. Be the man that God has created you to be as a man. He's telling these men to this church, really all of them, but for us guys, he's talking about being courageous men. Aristotle used this word to define the point between fear and courage, between fear and the confidence that we need. And we've all been at that point where we are afraid. And as Meredith said, courageous doesn't mean, or courage is not the absence of fear. It's when I'm confronted with fear and I take the step of faith to be confident in Christ. That's what courage really is all about. So this is a tremendous issue to talk about. And we're living in a culture where we need to talk about it today. 25, 30 years ago, you would never find, very rare would you find, a book specifically for men. There are a lot of books about women, for women, how to be women, but there weren't very many books, not much literature for men. Then there was what was known as the Promise Keepers movement. It started out in the 90s, the early 90s, and I remember just after I came here that season, for those who don't know, I was here from 94 to 2000, we took about 100 men, two busloads, up to Indianapolis. How many of you guys were on that trip? All right, raise your hand. You'll see a few hands. They were tremendously traumatized by that event. None of us are still over it. Now, the reason for that is that we found a hotel. You couldn't Google on the site, Google Earth, and see what's there, what's around it. And so we drove into Indianapolis. I had not been there, but I probably should have known that when it was called the Sixpence Hotel, it was a bad deal. We pulled up, and I thought, man, we are in trouble. There was a strip joint right next door, literally. I had 50 pair of eyes in the back of my head, and I thought, boy, this is going to be bad. Well, we go and check in, and, of course, they had to run people out some of the rooms, And we go into these rooms, and guys, they took showers with cardboard on the floor. They slept on cardboard. About a dozen guys came to me and said, "We're out of here." They took a taxi, went downtown to the Hyatt or Hilton or somewhere, and stayed there. It was an unbelievable experience. But we endured, and the point was that it was a conference to help guys learn how to be men. And from that point, there began to be a lot of literature coming out for men. But we live in a culture today where we need to understand the difference of the roles between a man and a woman. And so today I want to speak to the men about how important the role of manhood is. In fact, for instance, if you tried to define what it means to be masculine, it'd be very difficult to do that in our culture today, where there would be a consistent idea of what it means to be a man. Well, there's good news. There's a lot of information in the Bible about what we need to be doing as men. There are a lot of examples. And listen, there are so many examples of guys just like us. All different types. The good and the bad. The weak and the strong. Those who were brave and those who were not. And the summary of the Bible, if we really look at it, I want to give you a definition. It's not original to me, but Robert Lewis gave this definition of manhood. And he said it means to reject passivity, to assume responsibility, to lead courageously, and to expect a greater reward. And I think it's a great definition, because what he did is compare the first Adam in the Garden of Eden with the second Adam, Jesus Christ. If you remember, in the Garden of Eden, Adam went passive when Eve was confronted by Satan. He was standing right there, the Bible says, but did nothing. He was passive. And he did not assume responsibility for the sin they had both committed. He said, "This woman you gave me." He put the blame on Eve rather than assuming responsibility. He did not lead her out of that situation. In fact, it only got worse. And he wanted something immediate to satisfy himself rather than wait for a greater reward. Where Jesus Christ saw us in our condition as sinners, and he did not go passive. He rejected passivity. He did something about it. He assumed responsibility, and he came out of the glory of heaven and came to this earth, a sinful earth, and lived as a sinless man. And he led courageously by going to the cross of Jesus Christ. And by dying at age 33, sacrificing his life, he did so knowing that there was a greater reward waiting for him. Well, we need to have that same model in life of Jesus Christ as we look at what it means to be a man. To reject passivity, assume responsibility, lead courageously, and wait for a greater reward. And God honors those who do that. And we see that as those who are very courageous. Now, Paul here helps us understand in a very specific way how we can apply these five commands to learning how to be a man. Now, ladies, for those of you who are unmarried, well, you need to be listening to understand the kind of man that God has for you and praying to that end. For those who are married, ladies, you need to know how to pray for your husband. And for mothers who have sons, this will help you as you learn to pray for your sons. How should I pray for my son? I want to tell you this morning how you need to do that. So, what is a courageous man? Number one, courageous men are free to love. Notice Paul says in the second verse there in 14, your every action must be done in love. Now, we seem to have a general idea of love, but often we don't see it in terms of showing our emotions. You know, guys, we've been sold a bill of goods to believe that it's not good for us to show our emotions, to express our feelings. But just the opposite is true. In fact, there's more trouble created in life, in homes, in you, in churches, where you work, by not showing emotion, by not expressing feelings that are sincere and true. And we need to understand what the Bible says. We need to read the Bible. We need to read our own hearts about the normal expression of our feelings. Listen, your wife and kids will like you better. You will like yourself better. Now, we need to say those words, "I love you," And you may be a guy who it's very hard to express that. It's very hard. You may show love, but it's hard to say that. You know, just the way you're wired. Well, it's important that you say those words. I love you. People can't read your mind. But on the other hand, there are guys, it's very easy to say the words, I love you, but it's very hard to show it. So there needs to be that balance of showing our love. Now, what does that look like, showing our love? Well, turn a few pages back to 1 Corinthians 13, and let me read for you this definition of love. Now, at most weddings, just about every wedding I do, I will read a portion of this passage of Scripture. It's this great chapter on love, and Paul is using the word agape, God's kind of love. It's an unconditional love. And here he writes in verse 4. Now, think of it, guys, in terms of action. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep a record of wrongs, finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never comes to an end. And it's important, guys, when you think about saying I love you or showing your love to somebody, don't use the excuse, well, I've never been taught that. Well, break the cycle. Maybe you weren't taught how to do that, but you can learn how to do that. My parents broke that cycle. And by the power of Christ, they were able to say I love you and to show I love you in homes that were not functional in that kind of way. And you can do the same thing. You can change that through Jesus Christ. So courageous men love and are free to show their emotions. Secondly, courageous men stay pure. He says, be alert. Be alert. Now listen, this is a tough battleground. And Satan and every demon of hell knows that if you do not possess the power of Christ, the passion of Christ, if you're not comfortable in understanding your manhood and what it means to be a man, you will lose this battle. You can't win it without Jesus Christ. And we need that in our lives. Paul says to Timothy, flee from youthful passions. Flee from youthful passions. Listen, you have to flee it when you're young, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking to a man who's probably in his 40s at the time that he's writing this. And those passions that were there when you were young are still there, and you've got to keep on fleeing. It's a continual process of those youthful passions. You know, the battleground is so vast because of technology. It just takes a click of a button. Now, I talked about this several weeks ago in another series about sexual morality and how easy it is for anybody to have access to pornography. So it's a real constant struggle. It's very easy. It's easy for anybody of any age. And we need to be aware of that. And that's why you've got to get a real tight focus and know that as part of being a man, I need the power of Christ to help me overcome this issue. You know, giving in to sexual temptation, guys, is not a sign of masculinity. It's a sign of weakness. And so we need the power of God to help us be strong, to stay alert, to stay pure. Third, notice that courageous men know how to pray. This is so important. He says to stand firm in the faith. Now, if that means anything, it means that we need to be praying. And perhaps it's one of the greatest indications of what it means to be a courageous man. Imagine a young woman giving herself to a man or her children to a man who will not pray. Imagine that. A young woman's going to give herself to a man who will not pray. Because listen, that says many things. It says many things about himself and about his relationship to God. And I'm not saying that he's a great prayer warrior. I'm just saying that he understands the need to communicate with God Almighty about being the man that God has called him to be. Now, men who pray change the world. It's what the Bible says, James 5:16, that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It affects change for himself, for others around him. And so, guys, we need to be praying to take up the ground against the enemy. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about spiritual warfare, great passage of Scripture, and he talks about the armor of God, the spiritual weapons that we have to fight a spiritual battle. You see, a lot of us are trying to fight a spiritual battle with natural weapons, our minds, our intellect, our common sense, our pragmatism, and it's getting us in trouble in many different ways because what we're dealing with is a spiritual warfare. Satan is trying to destroy us as men. He's trying to take away your manhood. And so he's doing that in various ways. And so we need to be understanding that and be praying about that. Now in Ephesians 6, he gives these spiritual weapons. And notice what he says in chapter 6, verse 14. He says, having prepared everything, take your stand. Stand. Having taken your stand, stand. And then he says, after listing the weapons, pray at all times in the Spirit, and stay alert in this with all perseverance. We need to be praying. He sums up that whole chapter about spiritual warfare with the emphasis on praying. Now, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? What exactly does that mean? Well, Paul answers that in Romans chapter 8, where he says this, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness. It's hard for us to pray. We're weak in our prayer life, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows what you're trying to say. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God, Paul writes there. And so you need to be praying even when you don't know what to pray and you're in an attitude of prayer or even how to pray. The Holy Spirit knows that because you're in a position of prayer, he's going to help communicate to God what's in your heart and what's in your mind. And that gives great comfort and encouragement to me to know that, you know, I may feel weak in my prayer life because I feel defeated in being the man that God's called me to be. And I've prayed about things, and it seems like I'm hard to get victory over those areas in my own life. But as I pray, the Holy Spirit knows the will of God. He knows what I'm trying to say, and he connects the two. So we need God's Spirit helping us pray, praying in the Spirit. Now, along with that, kind of a sidebar, I often have guys ask me this, even ladies, who do I pray to when I pray? It's a good question. Have you ever thought about, you know, who am I supposed to pray to? There's the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, who do I pray to? Well, we follow the example of Jesus Christ. He said, our Father in heaven. So we pray to God through Jesus. You see, he's the one who made it possible for us to have a relationship with him. So that's why we pray in his name. We're praying in his name because of who he is, what he's done, and all that we're praying according to his will. To God, through Jesus Christ, in the Spirit, or by the Spirit of God. The Spirit is what makes it all happen, okay? So look, God's not going to thump you if you pray to Jesus Christ. You're used to praying to Jesus. God's not going to do that. But somebody's asked the question, and that's the answer. We pray to God through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So guys, let's pray. Let's commit today. If anything, one of the ways that we can prove being a man is by praying. Notice next that courageous men are loyal. This is another application of the phrase, stand firm in the faith. You know, courageous men, listen guys, they pick out a few things and they are committed to those things. You see, a guy gets in trouble when he spreads himself too thin. He's got all these things going on in his life, and it's very easy not to be committed to all of that. And what happens? He becomes disloyal. He's not able to fulfill the commitment that he made to all those things he made a commitment to. So a courageous guy learns over time, these are the things that I can do, and these are the things I cannot do. Now, part of that is learning who you are and who you're not. And I've had to learn that. I've gone through a process over years in ministry where I realized my gifts, my passions, my burdens of what really who I am and what I care about. And I've had to learn to say no to things that are good things. And there are things that other guys need to do. But I can't do that. And so I want to give you some counsel, some wisdom about just pick out a few good things and be committed to those things. Number one, your relationship to God. Number two, your family. Number three, the Lord's work through His church and your work as well. There may be a hobby or two, an interest or two that you're able to do, but you can be committed to just a few things and do those things well. Great men say things like this. Look, I'm an ordinary guy, but I am hooked up to some extraordinary causes, and I'm going to be committed to those things. I'm going to remain loyal to those things. You know, the other guy, he's looking for a shortcut. He's looking for a deal. He's looking for the easy way to do it. And those are the guys that end up being disloyal. You need to be loyal. A courageous man says, one day I'm going to lie in my coffin, and I'll be in heaven, and hopefully the preacher will be able to say he was loyal. He was committed. Notice also, courageous men give. Courageous men give. And that's with the word be strong. You see, the strength of a man is measured by not by what he has, but by what he gives. Your real strength is determined not by what you have, but by what you give. A courageous man is always giving. He gives his life to those causes he's committed to. He gives his time to those things. He gives his energy to those commitments. He gives his resources to those things. The man who gives has great power. Why? Because you're an instrument of God's blessings to others. So a man who keeps is weak. A man who gives is strong. So let's be givers, guys. Now, courageous men also lead. Courageous men lead. And that's with the word be brave. Now, that word can mean a lot of things, as I mentioned earlier, but it means that we lead. Now, what does it mean to lead? Now, I shared this also Monday with our guys at the men's luncheon. As Robert Lewis gives a real good definition of what it means to lead. First of all, a leader is the one who sets direction. He sets direction. Jesus said, "Follow me." You know, the Christian life really boils down to that. It means that I'm following Jesus Christ as a man. Ladies, for you as well. The whole Christian life boils down to that. Because that helps me understand what I'm to be doing with my life and the direction. So, Jesus set direction for all of us. And as a man, guys, that's what we're to do with those who are following us. We're to set the direction. That is not left up for the women in our home. That is the responsibility that we have. I've said this before. I strongly believe this with all of my heart, that when I stand before God Almighty one day, I will be the one who gives an account for the direction of my family, not my wife. She has her role. She has her place. But I strongly believe that I have, and that keeps me on my knees praying to God Almighty that I will know the direction that I need to be giving my family in the different seasons in my family's life, as my kids now are grown and they're gone. But, you know, hey, Dad, what do I do? How do I handle this situation? As I'm calling my dad who's in his 80s, and I'm saying, Dad, what do I do? And he's still helping set direction, even at my age. And so that never ends for us, that we're setting direction. Jesus set direction. Secondly, it means, leadership means that we provide protection. We provide protection. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. His job is to shepherd us, to take care of us, to protect us. And that's what we are to do. We're to be the protector of those that God has given us, that we're providing protection. Again, Adam failed to do that. He didn't set direction, and he certainly did not provide protection. And third, we make provision. We make provision. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says that when Adam, that the Spirit came into his life, that he was a spirit being. But the Bible says about Jesus, he was a life-giving spirit. You ever been in a room when a guy walks in and he sucks the life out of everybody? You know, it's all about him. Versus a guy who walks into the room and he gives life to everybody. He encourages everybody. He lifts them up. He's not beating them down, but he's encouraging them. It's good to be around that guy. It's not about him. It's not about people giving life to him. No, he's the one making the sacrifices to giving life to others. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And for guys, that's what we're to do as well. Now, here's the catch. Here's the hard part about it. It's hard to lead. It's hard to lead courageously. But it's even harder to keep on leading, to continue doing that. You get tired of it sometimes. It's a battle. It's a constant battle. You never stop leading. I mean, it's there. And so with that, ladies, here's how you pray for your husbands, how you pray for your sons, that they're leading and it never stops. And they need that encouragement through prayer of the job that they have. Our world needs men who are willing to lead. But notice also, courageous men follow. Courageous men follow. That's another application of be brave. It sounds antithetical, but it's true. That a guy who leads needs to do that and do it well, but a guy needs to follow. And he needs to do that well, which means we need balance in our lives. We need to be able to lead and we need to be able to follow. Particularly those of us who are Christ's followers, we're following Christ. Remember what Paul said, follow my example as I follow Jesus Christ. Follow my example. So it's not wrong to follow a guy who's a mentor in your life, somebody that you can look up to, but you make sure he's following Jesus Christ. But ultimately, that guy's going to fail you. That guy's going to disappoint you in some way. So you have to keep your eyes on Christ and follow him. That's why he said, simply, follow me. Men, that's who I want to ask you. Who are you following? Who are you emulating? Who are you looking up to? Who are you imitating? Notice finally, courageous men are always becoming courageous men. These five words really are better translated, keep on being alert. Keep on standing firm. Keep on being brave. Keep on being strong and with love. All right? So it is something that we keep on doing. It's not a one and done. It's not just for a season of life. But we're always in that position of being courageous and becoming courageous men. Now, these verses give us great hope because there's somebody here who's going to say, well, Pastor, I've blown it. Well, join the club. We've all blown it, and that's okay. But that's the beginning step, and that's why I started out with what I did, by asking you to be honest men. So, I want to come back to that, guys. I want us to, after what we've heard from God's Word, I want us to be honest for just a moment about ourselves. This sermon is not a sermon to beat guys up. It's not a sermon to condemn anybody. It's God's truth to help us be honest about ourselves. So, I'm going to ask you to do this. It's everybody bow your head and close your eyes once again. All right? Now, here's the deal, guys. We've got to go through a process of this honesty thing, of, you know, how we do that. So, here's how we do it. We need to just be still for a moment and look deep inside us. You see, you can't deal with it unless you see it. Now, maybe others have tried to help you see it, but you've been unwilling to be honest. You think being a man is, you know, saying, I don't have any mistakes. I'm always right. I know what I'm doing. Well, a real man says, man, I've got some weak spots. I've got some areas that really need to change. That's the strength of a man. That's the power of a man who's able to do that. To humble himself before God and to be honest. So we see the sin and we're asking, we listen to the Holy Spirit. Just ask him right now, Lord, help me to see where I need to change. Help me to see where I need to change. Now, if we're really honest and we see what is really there, then it's going to cause us to grieve over it. We're not going to be happy about it. If we're really honest, We know it's there. We're sad it's there. We don't want it there. And that's a good place to be. Because once I grieve it, then I can confess it. See, I know it's there. I don't want it there. So I confess. I agree with God. Yes, it is there. And ask God to take that away from you, to help you improve in that area of your life, to change, experience transformation. That's called repentance. That's called turning. So once I confess, it's not just saying, yeah, you're right, God, but what are we going to do about that? We're going to take the next step. Now, we're here as a church to help you take the steps that you need to. But sometimes, for a lot of guys, it's just being honest. It's acknowledging, this is where I am, and God will help you. He'll help you know the steps you need to take. As you're in the Word, as you're praying, as you're around other guys who are going to encourage you. But we're here to help you do that as well. So the good news is this, guys, is that God has forgiven me. He's forgiven you of those sins that you're dealing with. But also that God has empowered you to move forward. You don't have to stay where you are. God's big enough to create the change that you need in your life. Now that may begin by coming to a personal relationship with God. Maybe you're here today, and if you're really honest, as you're looking deep within your soul, you know, I know about Him, but I really don't know Him. And I need to commit my life to Him. I want to follow Christ. And I want my sin forgiven. And Jesus did all that for you, but you have to acknowledge that. And you have to trust Him and Him alone for your salvation. Now, you may not sure how to do that. We'll help you in just a moment as we have a time of response. There may be some who are saying, you know, I need to be a part of this church family. I need to lead my family in joining this church. So be a place where you belong, where you can find the strength and help that you need as a church. There might be some who need to come and pray, or you want somebody to pray for you. We're willing to do that now as well. Father, I thank You for speaking to us as men, hopefully to everyone, from Your Word. Lord, it is a spiritual battle every day. It never ends. But God, I'm reminded of that great verse, greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. So Lord, I pray that we'll die to ourselves. We'll admit we can't do it. As the Lord Jesus Himself said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. So Lord, we need You. We need Your help, Your grace, Your power to be the men You've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.